In,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
In the book of Mark.
Hallelujah.
Chapter 16.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Mark chapter 16.
Come on, Pastor. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
God's got it.
Beginning at verse 6.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Verse 6.
Wonderful.
Mark 16, beginning at verse 6, the word of God says, "And he saith unto them,
yes.
Be not affrighted.
Yes, Lord.
Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth,
mm-hmm.
which was crucified.
Oh, yes.
He is risen.
Yes.
He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him.
Yes.
But go your way.
Go your way.
Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him as he said unto you."
Hallelujah.
Today we want to talk about risen.
Risen. All right now.
When you think of the resurrection of Christ, what comes to your mind?
Yes.
When you think of his resurrection or the resurrection of Christ, what comes to your mind? Now, when you think of Easter, what comes to your mind?
All right. Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
If we're honest, the picture really is not the same.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Amen. Say that.
Teach.
See, somehow, Easter has become the celebration of a rabbit.
Come on now.
Colored eggs.
My Lord.
Well.
And jelly beans. And none of which represent the true essence of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
All right.
This day is a day which we as believers must embrace to commemorate the atonement that we find through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ.
Yeah, I know you're right about it. I know you're right about it.
It is because of this that we must never allow any other commercialized narrative.
Yes.
I'm talking about Peter Cottontail.
Yeah.
To replace or cause us to ignore what Christ has done for us.
Oh, yes.
We find in this pericope, if we were to look from verses 1 down, several ladies who are eager and who have come to the tomb of Jesus, not on an Easter egg hunt, but with an expectation to see the body of Christ and anoint it. What they find is something amazing.
Yeah.
It's something they find. They find it's more amazing than they could have even imagined. They find the empty tomb of our risen Savior. Allow me to propose this, that the resurrection of Christ must not be ignored because of all it encompasses in the life of the believer.
That's why.
The scripture which lays before us today introduces us to the provisions of the resurrection. You see it? Don't read the Bible too fast. You might miss something.
All right.
Says to them, this angel says to these ladies who had already been traveling to anoint the body of Christ. They had already been discussing among themselves who's going to move the stone when we get there.
Yes, Lord.
That's right.
For you understand that the stone had been sealed.
Uh-huh.
And the text says that it was a great stone, and it was guarded by Roman centurion soldiers.
Yes, sir.
Who lie in wait for anybody who may decide to come and steal the body.
That's right.
They were wondering.
Yes, wondering.
They were wondering who would move the stone.
Right.
Interestingly enough, God. It's amazing how God works.
Oh yeah.
You can be wondering how is something going to work out. And the Lord is already ahead of you, working it out.
Yes, sir.
It's interesting how he can roll away some stones in our lives before we even get there. It's interesting how he can already work the problem out. I don't really mean to be cliche here, but what comes to my mind is that woman who sang with the Cosmopolitan Choir, who said that Jesus will work it out.
Work it out. Yeah, he will. He'll work it out. He'll work it out.
Every time.
It's interesting that he's already solved an issue in their minds. They're eager to get there. They get there, and when we speak of provisions, we're speaking of what that which is provided or added to us, which in some way benefits us.
Yeah.
And here's what these ladies gained at the sight of the resurrection.
Yes, sir.
They gained some comfort.
Yes, Lord.
For on their arrival, the text said they were terrified when they saw the stone removed.
Yes, sir.
And they were terrified when they saw the angel standing there.
Scripture says
the man. The response to them was, "Be not afraid."
That's what it said.
They were comforted in knowing that everything was all right. They were terrified, mystified, perhaps horrified.
But
the goodness is that God was being glorified even at that moment that they arrived.
The
provision of the resurrection is comfort. The comfort in knowing that his death was real and for us, but the comfort in knowing, watch this, that God has done exactly what he said he would do. There was comfort. There was comfort for
comfort.
Them. But they were also, they also gained assurance. That this assurance is, look at what it says. It says, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. They were assured that they came to the right place. And they were watched it. They came, you know, they came looking for Jesus. That they came to the right place at the right time. And they were looking for the right person. They were comforted in knowing that God had already worked his work, but assured in knowing that they had not made a mistake at arrival to their destination.
My Lord.
Let me submit to you that we too should be comforted by the resurrection.
Yes,
for because of his death, we are free from the curse and penalty of sin.
Uh-huh.
That right there is what you're supposed
to do. Yes, sir. That's what you're supposed to do.
We are now offered that same comfort and assurance that these women found at the tomb.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Can I just tell you this? You are in the right place at the right time for the right purpose.
Yeah.
No, you're not at the site of the resurrection.
Yeah. All right.
But you're at the place of celebration of the resurrection.
Yeah.
This is the place to express joy and excitement for our deliverance.
Yeah.
Somebody asked, why do we make a big thing about resurrection?
Come on.
We do it because if it had not been for his resurrection, none of us would be here right now. If it had not been for his resurrection, my soul would be doomed. And my life would be destroyed.
Yes,
sir.
I want to say to you that this is the place. You're in the right place. Be comforted. Be comforted and be assured that Jesus died for your sins. You've not made Christ your Savior today. I want to encourage you not to be afraid. Be comforted. Jesus has died for your sins. You come to the right place. This is not the place of ridicule. It's the place of rescue. It's not the place of judgment. It's the place of Jesus. I came here on my way to New Jerusalem to help somebody understand that there is provisions from the resurrection. All of us have been provided an opportunity to see for ourselves that he's alive and he's ever working. As we read further, we discover through the eyes of these women the proof of the resurrection. You see it? Verse 6 further says, in the C clause, he is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they lay him. They were informed by the angel that he had risen. And you know, this really shouldn't have been surprised to
him. Come on.
Because he'd already made it clear that if you tear down this temple, in 3 days, out. So it's at this point, at this moment, that he informed them that, look, y'all, he's not here. He is risen from the grave. Thank God for the resurrection.
Thank God for the resurrection.
He's not there. He says. And then he informed them that he had risen, but they were informed by the angel that he had risen, but they were invited by the angel to see for themselves. And interestingly enough, that's why the stone was removed.
Yeah.
All right.
It wasn't removed so he could get out.
Uh-huh.
It was removed so they can get in
whoa.
And see for themselves. Come here, I want to help somebody today. It's one thing to hear about something, but it's another thing to experience it for yourself. The tomb was empty. He was not there. All that was there were the clothes he had been buried in. John 20, verse 6 and 7 reads and records that then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together. That means it was folded. In a place by itself. What am I attempting to say? All I want to say is he got up. He is risen. This is what we celebrate. We celebrate the empty tomb. We celebrate him, Christ crucified, but Christ alive. Preacher was teaching some children about the resurrection of Christ.
All right now.
And he asked them what was as he was teaching these children about the resurrection of Christ. He asked the children, he said, look, what were the first words Jesus said when he was resurrected? When he met his disciples, what did he say? And one little girl raised her hand and said, she said, I know. And he pointed to her and said, tell me. And little girl, he said, ta-da. That's what we must be like as believers. Those who trust that Christ has done what he said he would do. We are to be, watch this, the ta-da believers. We have resurrection faith. We trust that he has risen. Can I help you to understand something? This is where many of us get off and we get messed up at, is that we spend too much time trying to prove it than we do just believing it. And I stop here today to tell you, I just want to make you understand and help you to understand that as believers, we're not obligated to prove he has risen from the grave. We are called to believe he has resurrected. Our challenge is to live our lives knowing that Christ is alive. Our challenge is to live our lives knowing that he does live. And watch this, he reigns eternally. He got up from the grave. He did it so that you and I might have the right to the tree of life. They had the proof. And look, somebody said, well, Reverend, how can you prove it? Well, look, I prove it, and we all prove it by the way we live our lives. Because we experience Christ. Those of us who have who are believers, those of us who've accepted him as our Savior, somehow, some way, he just gets in us. And causes us to do things differently from the way we would do it. Whereas we would usually cuss folk out. But since we met him, the reason why I know he lives is because, you know what? I don't talk like I used to talk. I know he lives. I know he lives because I don't do the stuff I used to do. I prove his resurrection by the change in my life.
That's it right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir.
Martin Luther was asked, well, how do you know there's a God?
How do you know?
Martin Luther, and the fella said to Martin Luther, say, You can't see God.
You can't see.
You can't touch God.
Jesus.
You can't hear God.
Mama.
How do you know there is a God?
Mama.
And Martin Luther said, that's a mighty fine question. He said, but let me ask you a question as I answer your question.
All right, come on.
How do you know you have a pain?
Whoa.
You can't see your pain?
Whoa.
You can't hear your pain?
Whoa.
And the fella, he thought he was saying something. He said, I know I got a pain because I can feel it.
Feel it. Feel it. Feel it.
Martin Luther said, that's how I know the Savior lives. I can feel him deep down inside of me. When I want to do wrong, I feel him making me do right. I'm going to close it. I'm going to close it. I'm going to close it. We must observe. Not only must we observe the provisions of the resurrection and the proof of the resurrection, but we must also observe in the text the proclamation of the resurrection. Verse 7 says, but go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him.
That's what he said.
As he said unto you. These ladies were encouraged by the angel to proclaim that Jesus had risen.
They
did not see the body. They did not see him rise, but they saw an empty tomb, and they were excited about the good news that he was risen. The angel sent them and said, why don't you go back to town and just let them know that the Savior is coming to visit him. And he said, and while you're at it, why don't you do one other favor? Tell Peter too.
Tell Peter.
See, they were compelled to reach after Peter. He wasn't just, what you gotta understand is that Peter had messed up a few days earlier.
Come on now.
He messed up.
Take it plain.
He denied Christ.
Yeah.
Christ had already told him he would deny him. And all this happens after Peter, you know, with his big bad self. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and they came to get Jesus with their long knives and swords. And they came there and Peter was a little huffy and he took his sword out and chopped off Malchus' head. His bad self. Later on, Jesus tells Jesus, I'm with you to the death. I'm here with you.
Tell the story.
I got your back, Jesus.
Tell the story. Yes,
somehow, some way, Jesus knew that Peter had his back. He said, yeah, you got my back way back, Peter.
Way back.
He said, before the cock crow.
Yeah.
You will have denied me three times.
Yes.
Peter, no doubt, in his denial of Christ, felt alienated.
Tell it.
He felt separated. He felt embarrassed. He felt troubled. But the interesting thing is, in the proclamation of the resurrection,
Make it plain.
Peter wasn't left out. They were sent to tell the disciples and Peter who had messed up.
Come here.
That's the proclamation of the resurrection.
Yes,
not only that Jesus is alive, but also that he has risen for all. Those who have messed up, he's risen for them. Those who have walked away, he's risen for them. Those who feel alienated and left out and broke up. Jesus' resurrection was not just, watch this, just for perfect folk.
If
it was for perfect folk, none of us would be able to partake of it. But Jesus rose for you and for me. We are to commemorate this holy day. And as we do it, let us do it by proclaiming to others the true story. He rose. And he is alive.
Oh, yeah.
As we sit with our families today,
come on.
During our family time,
yes.
Let's remind them that Resurrection Sunday,
yes, Lord,
is not just about family,
yes, Lord,
but it's about the total family,
yes,
that Jesus died and rose for.
Yes,
let's keep the story right.
Yes,
let's remind people,
yes,
what resurrection really is about.
Yes,
it's not about turkey.
Yes,
not about dressing.
Yes,
not about chicken.
Yes,
oh, I know who I got here. Not about greens and,
yes,
and chitlins and duck.
Yes,
but it's about the Savior,
yes,
who got up,
yes,
early on the third day,
yes,
with all power,
yes,
in his hands.
Yes,
remind your friends,
yes,
and loved ones,
yes,
that it's not about a bunny, but it's about a Savior named Jesus.
Yeah.
Songwriter says,
yeah,
I serve a risen Savior.
Yeah.
He's in the world today.
Yeah.
I know that he is living.
Yeah.
Whatever men may say,
yeah,
I see his hand of mercy.
Yeah.
I hear his voice of cheer.
Come on.
And just the time I need him,
yeah,
he's always, always near.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to do all this, but he lives.
Yeah.
Oh, he lives.
Yeah.
Christ lives today.
Yeah.
He walks with me.
Yeah.
He talks with me.
Yeah.
He tells me.
Yeah.
He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives in my heart. Anybody here share the same testimony? You know he lives. Can you feel him in the morning? Can you feel him in the noon? Can you feel him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's risen.
Yeah.
He's risen.
Yeah.
He's risen.
Yeah.
He's risen.
Yeah.
I guess I better tell you.
Yeah.
I know you know, but I guess I better tell you.
Yeah.
That he died on Calvary.
Yeah.
They stretched him wide.
Yeah.
They hung him on the cross.
Yeah.
Put nails in his hands.
Yeah.
They riveted his feet. They,
yeah,
pierced his side.
Yeah.
He died.
Yeah.
Oh, he died.
Yeah.
But that ain't the end of the story.
Yeah.
They put him in the borrowed,
yeah,
tomb.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah, he stayed there,
yeah,
for 3 nights.
So. Yeah.
But early,
early,
he got up.
Yeah.
He got up.
Yeah.
With all power.
Yeah.
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 All power. With all power. You ought to be able to trust that.
Hallelujah.
You ought to be able to share that story.
Hallelujah.
That he's alive.
Yeah.
And he's still working.
Yeah.
Even today.
Yeah.
In the lives of us.
Yeah.
Let us extend the privileges of the church.